What's going on, family? What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? I'm just getting to a little intro, just another little TED Talk today. You know what I'm saying? Not really doing too much, but some things I wanted to talk about. So let's pay these bills and get right to it. So what's going on, family? You guys know I do this every so often. Sometimes I talk about black topics. A lot of times it revolves around some sort of history. Other times, you know, I talk about whatever, or just like a TED Talk about my life, you know. I just let you guys know what's like, kind of what's going on, any updates or what may have you. But this episode is a little interesting. And you guys have heard the episode that I can't take off, or just, you guys see me here at this point before where I, you know, don't really know if I really want to. Or not even, like, because I want to continue doing this, but then I always wonder, like, is it podcast really my thing? Is it really videos just my thing? You know, hold on, let me open up this door, get some air in here. But, you know, for a while, I've been feeling like, to some degree, in some sort of way, I have to kind of justify the work I've been doing, right? And it's kind of hard to do that when it just seems like things just don't go right. And that happens. You know, that's a part of trying to be a success. That's a part of trying to get your own shit. Shit is going to go wrong. People are going to flip out. People are going to panic on you. And it never feels good. It never feels good. Right? So I was at a crossroads yet again. And I just didn't, you know, I wanted to just, I've always said I've wanted to be more effective. I wanted to be better. And I just didn't really know if this was the lane. And long story short, kind of decided on what I usually do. That it's just bigger than that. And whether or not I can justify it, whether or not I feel enough people listen to it, it shouldn't stop me from putting certain information out there. And I do think some of this information I put out is helpful. And some of the talking points that I bring up, like one I'm going to bring up now. It's about the prison system. And I had a conversation very, very recently. Just about different things, about some very general topics revolving around crime, expectations, whatever may have you. I'm just going to move my car. Because I swear to God, no matter what I do, I keep getting assaulted. So I park by, so just give you guys like a bit. I park by bushes. When there's a bunch of bushes around where I stay, there's a bunch of unnecessary greenery
for me. Yeah, sorry about that, family. I forget when I turn my car on, it turns on my Bluetooth, which cancels out the whole program. Same as if someone gives me a phone call. And I don't have the do not disturb function on. But either way, this is a shitty town with shitty bushes. A bunch of like turkeys and wildlife. And that's probably like beautiful to a lot of you people. To a lot of the family out there. I could give a rat's ass. I'm not a big fan. First of all, here's the thing. Most of these fucking spiders are not even from here. All right, most of the bugs, actually, there's a lot of bugs out here, like hundreds and thousands of different species that only been over here for barely 100 years, some just a couple of 100 years. So that's point number one. A lot of this shit, well, if you were out here in the back in the, actually, had the cracker stayed his punk ass where he was at, you know what I'm saying? Had he stayed his ass where he was at, and never brought his filthy ass ships with his filthy ass body over here with these filthy ass diseases, the landscape of this continent, just the entire north and south, would be immensely different. Prodigiously different, to use a more academic word, than what it is right now. So that's point number one. Like, you know, there's a lot of what people say, well, you would have to actually, this landscape has changed a lot over the last few 100 years. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. So shut up. Okay. And they had, this shit had to be changed so we could come here and we could work this shit the way that they wanted us to. It would have never worked with all the fucking trees. But that's a whole nother point going from what I'm actually talking about. Which is about like crime, the prison system. It's about gangs and about a lot of misconceptions. And I do feel I should probably do a more in-depth kind of podcast or even a breakdown on this and use a lot of sources. There's a lot of sources one can use, especially these days. So I wouldn't even have to, like, you know, so again, family, I wouldn't be sitting up here like I'm telling you secrets necessarily. I mean, it may be unknown to you, but these wouldn't be necessarily secrets, but these are things that you should know. Because the way that we view certain things, and I'll give you one example, like when we go to prison and we think about prison life being what it is, and we are upset at the fact that that there is organized crime in these prisons and that there are gangs in prisons that that have black folks in it, for the millennials, for you new booties, for motherfuckers who might be a bit older than me, but you were a square. You know what I'm saying? You don't really understand the politics. You don't understand the history. Or maybe you're just not from that age bracket where you can get that information. There was a time when we used to go to prison and the shit was not okay for us. You understand what I'm saying? Prison was another example of make America great again. Because, well, here's another thing I have to also bring up. We talk a lot about the mafia. We talk a lot about like Italian gangsters, mobsters. We don't talk a lot about the fact that these were the criminal entities that were filling up the prisons. These were your gangsters. These was your bang bang shoot 'em up types. Not to say that they're black folks, so you had any punks. See, if I wanted to talk about the history of gangs in this country, I would even have to talk about some Native American situations. You know what I'm saying? It's particularly in the Wild Wild West, but you're really just talking about groups. And a gang could have just been about anything. Usually they were youngsters. But there's a history of gangs in this country. That's my point. That was my point. But as far as the prison system, we have to understand that organized crime was white or honorary white crime. So when a black person would go to prison, and it's no different, like, there's still, like, by population, fuck about how we get arrested, fuck about the population versus, you know, the percentage of people in prison versus population. Let's talk about strictly numbers. Hella whites in the prison systems. So when you were black and you were going to the prison system, it was hard for you. It was hard for you. There was not the kind of mobility or security that you do now. So you had gangs, groups that started, that formed in prison for that reason. People don't get the story about why did Raymond Washington want to start the Crips? What made it, especially when you already had local street gangs? See, that's the thing. Like, who has been around? I'm not telling you guys anything that's like a secret. It's actually public information. A lot of you just don't know that. Piru had already been a gang. It already was a street. That's why you talk about Piru and Crip falling out before a certain point. There's a bunch of stories about that. Okay, but you actually have a lot of stories about them being cool. Like, why wouldn't they be cool? See, when you look at gang starting as a response to something going on, a response to a situation, then everything starts to make sense. When you start to keep in mind that they used to have, and they still do, these double lightning bolt gangs. I always tell y'all about this, but y'all ain't do enough research. Okay, we just brought 100,000 of these motherfuckers over here. What kind of groups or organizations you think they'll be a part in? And guess what? They're government sponsored. But these double lightning book gangs that have affiliations to those groups that I just mentioned, the Spook Hunters and all that other kind of shit, those were the reasons why we would get together. That's why the reasons, like, that's why even in LA you have such a uniform. You're talking about ex-military children. You're talking about children with those values. So when you talk about... let me also dispel another myth. Because there's a lot of people, they just get to talking shit, family. They really do. Now, if you're from Cali, especially if you're from LA, not if you're from Oakland, evidently. Because there's a lot of motherfuckers that are just not old enough. They do not know. They'll tell you because somebody else didn't told them. They'll tell you some shit that Black Panther started the Crips and the Bloods. That is beyond false. But don't get me wrong. What groups like the Black Panthers and other groups was talking about, that wasn't something that Black folks wasn't getting on. Again, it's going back into why these groups even started. Why do you even, form in the first place? And particularly at that time, you got to also think about the times. You're talking about late 60s, 70s, and 80s. So you also have to think about the things that were happening politically or that was happening going on. See, that's this part of the story that you never hear. You know, a lot of people can tell you about when countries are at war, but does that mean the entire time that two countries are at war, that's all that there is? No, there's in-betweens, there's stories, there's things happening, people are falling in love, they fucking, they having sex, they doing all kind of shit, right? So there's always some in-between. So even though there was movements going on, situations were still happening. And I know it's a tough thing for us to get. It's a tough thing for us to get because we're used to like, okay, if it's like this, then it has to be like this. Well, if it's like this, then it has to be like this. I'm going to keep telling you, family, we have to get out of dichotomous logical thinking where we think either or, where we think it's either this or that. When you have a mind frame that's set on interpreting or analyzing things under that lens, you limit yourself. And that's why we have such a narrow-minded, such a myopic society. And you're just like, oh my God, you're so thick-headed. Why are you so thick-headed? It's because of the logic, the way that they choose to apply logic. And also the way that they choose the reason. But that's a whole other thing. I have a few episodes talking about that. Also look up Dr. Edwin Nichols, the philosophical differences of race. So go check that out if you want to know more about that. But kind of getting back to my point, we've always had a part within society that looked out for one another, that banded together, that said, you know what, enough is enough. We're not going to allow this to occur. And in prison, that's what was happening. You can imagine, if you think that prison, like the things that you hear about prison are bad now, imagine not having any sort of protection, any sort of, so basically whites got people. If you're Latin, you got people. Who did the blacks have? So you're pretty much stuck to have really, really janky, fucked up relationships. And when you, like, listen, when you deal with whites, when you deal with Latins in prison, they are shiesty. You know what I'm saying? They'll get you to kill a family member, rape a family member. They'll rape you for a little bit of nothing. It's about power. So we're talking about entering a situation where if you don't have any groups, if you don't have any sort of unity, then the kind of power you wield is greatly diminished. And I mean greatly diminished. So it's no different than politics. It's no different than how we feel we have to be on the outside. And there's even a saying, you know, on the outs. On the outs, there's different rules. On the outs, y'all can be from different neighborhoods and not fuck with each other. On the inside, the rules change. That Damu finna be your partner. You know what I'm saying? That key wife finna be, you know what I'm saying? Finna be watching your back. You know what I'm saying? There is no such thing as you rooming with somebody and somebody coming there to go do something to him and you just like, well, fuck, I didn't really know dude like that. I didn't really want to get into his shit. See, it's a culture of unity by necessity that is so, so prevalent. particularly when you're on the inside. But when you're on the inside, you truly see this world for what it truly is. Everything that happens in this world is done in prison, just in a microcosm. That's exactly what happens. Everything happens the same. There's business in there. There's hookers in there. Literally. Literally. And depending on what kind of prison you go to, like, listen, there's things that you can have access to. Literally, there's things that you can have access to. And everything, just like the real world, is based on relationships. It's based on politics. I may not like this CO for shit, but it's politics. That CEO may not like me, might think I'm a piece of shit, but guess what? He can't treat me like I'm dirt because of politics. Okay. And we always have to understand that there's a reason, there's a way that these politics get set in motion, they get set in stone. So there's a so the reason I'm bringing this up, because there's some things that we need to look at. There's information that we need to get to. We need to be looking at the Kev Mack videos. If you can't handle Kev Mack, why don't you try Alex Alonso? Even though I really wouldn't recommend it. But I will always push for sources, push for information that is more open, that is not so convoluted. Yeah, there's some things that I may not personally like that may be said, but it's real, it's raw, and it's better to get a first-hand account. It's better to get a primary source. Who would you rather get the facts from? HBO or the OG who just got out of prison? The OG with a message. The OG that's about 60-something years old don't give a fuck about all this young shit. Don't even understand, because he's been away for so long. You understand what I'm saying? I put more value in that. I put more value in talking to somebody that was there than somebody who talked to somebody who knew somebody that was there, but they lived on the other side of town. You understand what I'm saying? I also will take that before, like, and it's just also a thing. It's just common sense. You know, I'm not going to listen to an origin story for something that started about 50 years ago from somebody who's 20. What sense does that make? You know what I'm saying? What sense does that make? That's like your 12-year-old child giving the whole family the family history. Like, no, I'm going to tell you, great-grandmother, how great-grandfather used to be. Because you don't know. You know, I didn't got the story. Someone told me I know everything. But getting back to the main point, there's different ways that we need to look at these situations. There's also a different kind of mind that we need to have when we look at these situations, because there's certain perspectives that you just cannot get simply from talking to people. There's certain perspectives that you cannot get from a documentary. You know, like, for example, when I tell you about this race shit, I've lived it. When you talk about politics, when you talk about knowing motherfuckers that you can't say shit to because of politics, when you gotta look out for motherfuckers that you used to know, used to have school with, because of politics, there ain't shit that you can tell me. There's actually a whole lot when it comes to this shit that motherfuckers can't tell me. It's really a whole lot. A whole hell of a lot. So I don't really have too much to say. I let a lot of motherfuckers talk. But for real, there ain't shit you can tell me about this race shit, about this N shit. I got a perspective. You know, and a lot of people out here want to be super cool, over-friendly, over-brotherly. You know, in prison, the quote by John Henry Clark that we have no friends is just so evident. It's so evident. Yet we still try to. You know, we have some funky relationships. I won't even front. But that's the problem. We need to get out of that. You know, there's been this thing, especially in Cali, which is so ridiculous. And this is more in the jail system, but you are starting to see it on another level. But they are not really there. Black Northerners. And I really could give a fuck about what it is. It's just that, you know, and here's the thing, family. I know how you guys feel. You're like, it's a gang. It's a gang. It's all so bad. It's a gang. Like, why are you trying to the gang in the first place? You know, when you're in prison, there may be strategic reasons. There may be reasons why you have to bang. And it's not saying that you have to. That's another thing. But especially certain situations are just different. Okay? And the thing that you can't be is by yourself. So you're going to have a section. One way or another, bro, you're going to have a section. But, I don't understand how a black person can join something that is established to be against them. And since their inception, since what they've been doing, like they've been killing and raping black folks, throwing them off of shit. Like, what we have to understand, family, is that before, and let me even break this down. Before you had all these different black gangs in prison, and maybe I'm speaking principally for the West Coast. So if there's some East Coast people out there who have a different take, who have a different history, hey, hit me up. You can find me on IG. You know what I'm saying? Technico, T-E-K-H-N-I-Q-O. You can also find me on Twitter where I'm way more active at Niso Technico, same as the show. Okay? If you got something else, because it's all about getting the right information out there. Right? But, yeah, we like it was terrible. We getting killed left and right. We getting in fucked up ass situations, fucked up ass deals, because it's about survival. It costs to use a phone. It costs a lot for a cigarette. Y'all might have thought that shit in Don't Drink Your Juice in the Hood, because that was the parody to that. Y'all might have thought that shit was funny, that motherfucker's talking about chocolate milks and milk boxes and cigarettes. Like, yo, but that real shit, though. That going. It's a luxury. Think about this. You're in a place for about 10 years plus, right? How much would you pay for a luxury that you can only get on the outside? So, with that being said, in order for people to, like, you know, to live normal, and I'm not even going to get into the different tricks, the different traps. But there's lots of different ways that people can get caught up. It's not really a place, like, prison's not really a place where you go make friends. You can't be too nice. You know, a lot of the things that people say that you ought to be, you can't be when you're in prison. It's because you are at war. You are literally in trench warfare. Only difference is that you're a captive. It's like you're a POW, but you still got to figure out how the fuck, for whatever, however long they say you have to, do this guerrilla warfare. The shit get technical. You are literally at war. That's why I say when you get stressed with time, real time, you really realize like what this shit is really all about. And you can even see how motherfuckers move. You know, you ever want to meet a coon? Get locked up. You want to meet a real one? Like a real one? Like some movie type shit? Get locked up. It is off the chisel. Yo, like, I'm laughing, but it ain't funny. It's really not. But it was just some things. And yeah, I had a conversation with someone close to me recently. And it was a bit of an argument. I ain't gonna front. They're gonna listen to this and be like, why you putting this out there? I ain't putting it out there. I'm actually just talking about a certain situation, a certain viewpoint. A certain viewpoint where we didn't kind of understand each other. You know. And when I think about that conversation, I think about some of the things that I'm saying and what I'm about to say now. I think about just how being in a certain situation And I do feel this on both sides. I feel like a person who's never been to prison can never understand the mentality or the life or some of the decisions that somebody who has will make, no matter how much they relate, no matter how much, you know, they even delve or been around a situation. I do believe the same thing is could be said for the person who's been to prison or who's been stressed with time. Because you will never know what it's like to never have lost your freedom. You will never know what it's like to never have been put in that situation. You know what I'm saying? It's like a person who's, you know, I hate to say it, this is probably a really shitty comparison. I hope the family doesn't jump on me for this, but it's like somebody who's had a miscarriage versus somebody who's had a baby. Okay. And if all both situations unique to each respective persons, none of them will know how the other one feels. The person who had the child, no issues, no complications or anything like that, will never know what it feels like to have that life inside of you fade away. That is a different feeling. And I don't know it myself because I am not a woman. Okay. And even if I had such, I'm not going to use the D word, fantasies, then it still wouldn't happen because biologically, I have a dick. So, you know, that wouldn't happen. But staying on topic. I can say that, and I can say for the same person, the person who had the miscarriage and, you know, didn't have a child. You know, of course, all of this changes once you have that experience. But my point is that person who had that experience, like, they can't tell you. They can tell you about some of it. They can tell you bits and pieces, the parts that they can relate to. But there's other parts that they haven't experienced that will not allow, you understand what I'm saying? Will not allow them to truly comprehend what's happening. That's why all those scholars, Western scholars in the 19th century in particular. But it's why all those people had so many just weird delusions, and because they knew everything they wanted, you know, that's why women's orgasms were exorcisms, because they weren't having them. They were just sitting up there looking like, what the fuck is wrong with her? She's acting quite peculiar. All of a sudden, I started to touch her naughty bits, and she started to roll her eyes to the back of her head and convulsing or something. I called the pastor. I called the priest. I was about to call my cousin. He's a friar. Because I did not know what she was doing. Obviously, she was in need of an exorcism. No, she was in need of a nut. But, you know, look at where we're at these days. You know what I mean? They've gone quite far into trying to figure that. And if that's what you like, look, I'm not bashing. I'm trying not to. But at some point, we have to be real about some things. At some point, we're going to have to be realistic. All right. And if the technology does not exist yet to physically put someone into a position where they can have a certain experience, then it's just simply not going to happen. All right. And to the main point of why I said that is that if you don't have an experience, you really can't speak to it. And that's one thing I hate about this culture, this society, especially the one that I grew up in, because they gave us a lot of bullshit. And I believe they gave us this bullshit directly to counteract our ancestors, because I come from the thought process or the mind frame that not everybody's entitled to an opinion. And in many cases, one should have to qualify their opinion. For example, if I've never fucking, and I haven't, did brain surgery, then I shouldn't have any fucking comment on what a brain surgeon does. Unless I see something that it should, once again, common fucking sense. If this motherfucker is using some tools that are dirty or not clean, yeah, I can have some opinion about that. But very generally, I think that most of us understand that when dealing with anything kind of medical or surgical with a body, and especially if it's going to be infiltrating the body or anything on us, it should be clean. Okay, we should be handling things clean. If it's going to come into us, whether we're eating it, consuming it, or whatever, it should be clean. We should operate with that general understanding. But just because I understand that things should be clean, you know, like, that doesn't mean I can critique the process in which they keep it clean. I can come up with some shit that probably wouldn't have been effective enough. My point being, I'm not a fucking brain surgeon. So I would not know what a fucking brain surgeon does unless I was going to school. Or like, what have I done? If I want to have an opinion on what this brain surgeon, and maybe I think he fucked up, but what have I done to qualify my opinion? Have I studied it? Did I go to school for it? Am I a brain surgeon? Is my mama a brain surgeon? Even though that wouldn't be anywhere close to actually being one. But where are you deriving your information from? Your reason for having this opinion? Like, what is it? See, that's the problem. When people say that, you know what I'm saying, everyone's entitled to an opinion, you're actually saying that you don't need to have a reason to think what you want to think. And boy, while I'm on Instagram and Twitter, do I feel that that is obviously the case. Because people, yeah, that's how they really operate. But it doesn't make sense. It doesn't mean that you're right. It just means that you fall for this fucking bullshit ass trick that's going to make you just as dumb as everybody else. Because the secret to power is not money, it's knowledge. Because if I know how to get more money than you, I'm going to succeed more than you. That's just what it is. Sometimes life is really just that basic. You know, sometimes we'll think, oh no, it's not about what you know. This person knows a whole lot about blah, 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 blah. But we're not asking the right questions. You know what I'm saying? Once again, it's not always, sometimes it ain't even how you ask, it's what you ask. You know what I'm saying? What is the question? What does that person need to know? He knows how to make more money. He knows how to garner more power. He knows how to do this. Knowledge is something. Knowing how to apply skills. That's a knowing. You know, I know I'm breaking this down to like almost baby language for some folk, but that's what it is. So, yeah, you have to have a reason to think what you're thinking. You can't just think what you think for no reason. That's what children do. That's why a lot of us are out here seeming so immature. That's why I even believe a lot of the music is very appealing. As much as we can say, and this is, like I said, this is just a TED Talk. This is just me talking to y'all, family. But as much as we can say, oh man, there's definitely a need from white society to depict the black, and they do, to depict the black man as a child, like the little yachties in every goddamn role Nick Cannon plays on television. You know, the other thing though, the flip side to that is that there is a desire from white society to indulge in immaturity. And one could even say that it's from a lens of, it's something that can, like, if immaturity is something that desire from us, that they want us to represent for them, one could even argue that immaturity to white culture is desirable. Then I start thinking about white comedy. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Fucking Apple, how about to say Apple Pie? American Pie. Oh, if I had a white card, I sure lost it. But, like, one can really, really say that, honestly, if this society requires immaturity, that it's actually immaturity is relatable, which immaturity is desired. So when I even think about the things, the songs that are talking about fucking like crazy and tricking off, this is something that's actually desired from white society. Black people shooting each other. Yeah, this is okay. So black people dying in fucked up ass situations and white people not. Like, we have to think of it like this, right? Like, this is the setup. This is the. What if, hold on, y'all. Hold on, Jasper, I didn't got it. I got the idea.
What if not only we get to have music talking about how we want these niggas dead, what if we could use that music to get it to do the goddamn thing, Carson? We wouldn't have to lift one finger.
It's just a thought, family. It's just a thought. But back to my main point is that when we're talking about rape, when we're talking about lying, when we're talking about a lot of the values that this society tries to have us cape for them and take up for them, we could argue that it is something that is relatable. So it's not just that they want us to reflect the worst in society, but one of the reasons that they like to view it is because it's desirable and it's relatable. Somewhere deep down, it's something that they actually don't mind watching. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm sure there's a lot of things that are particularly vulgar or just not very good or just not represent. Like, people don't generally engage in things that they think are negative. You know, like, another example, I've talked about this too damn much, even for myself, who I didn't bring it up that much. Will Smith and Chris Rock, that whole situation at the Oscars, and I was waiting for something to pop off at the Grammys. But, you know, all these people, oh, I'm so disturbed, he should be so ashamed of himself, I am so traumatized, Like, all those people that are saying that, it's just like, but you're still talking about it. You know, I can't remember the last time I went to a terrible show, a terrible concert, or anything. And unless it was just like, it's something really, but it had to be something almost entertaining about it. Like, you know, again, like there's never, unless it was somewhat entertained you, there's never been like an event, or even one I can think of where, for myself personally, where something was shit and I spent most of the fucking, like almost 2 weeks talking about it. You know, unless it was like the kind of crap it was entertaining. You know, not all publicity is bad. Oh, all publicity is good publicity. You know, it's attention. You know, and it's like, why do we focus on that shit? Probably for the same reason we focus on the horror movies. You know what I'm saying? It's entertainment. You know, even the crappy ones. It's a crappy one. You still want to talk about it because it was so crap. Like, oh my goodness, it was so bad. But yeah, that's the argument. Like, if people weren't entertained by what happened, like, if you were really disgusted by what happened by Will Smith and Chris Rock, you would mention it one time, and you'd just be like, okay, I'm done with it. I don't have anything else to say. It's over with. Like, yeah, I've said my piece. They act like monkeys, and I'm done. I have no more, and they go on to the next thing. The Grammys were coming up. You have something positive to look forward to. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even think they spent this much time talking about that, what was it, Ryan Locke, that the Olympian that was caught on camera pissing on the floor in Brazil. You know? While we're not representing ourselves well, you know, sometimes you should just really wonder about who's representing the country. You're some worried about who's representing black people, and I would have slapped him too. But hey, I'm done talking about it. Hey, and look, if Tony Rock would have had an issue with it, run my fade too. If it was Dwayne Rock Johnson, it depend on my mood. But I like The Rock. But we have to go get into some different shit. We have to get into some Cali shit. You know what I'm saying? And that's, even on no disrespect, is actually a completely respectful tip. You know what I'm saying? In more ways than one, completely respect you, bro. You know what I'm saying? But, what was funny to me, though, is just sort of like, yeah, I know Dwayne Rock is like this buff dude. He was like a wrestler, but a lot of y'all really showed the hoe in yourselves. Y'all really showed the inner hoe inside, because y'all tried to pick who y'all felt were like the most, like, he wouldn't do Master P like that. First of all, Master P wouldn't even put himself in a situation like that. Master P got enough sense not to talk about somebody's wife or to even make, you know what I'm saying? Or the way that he would have did it just would have been more respectful. Just on some man and some G shit. Like, hey, Lil, I ain't trying to disrespect you. No. Look, this is about this. This it would have been okay. Like the way that, because I got to talk about this. Even the way that Chris Rock, and I get where his family is from. Trust me, I get it. I have no problem with Tony Rock feeling the way that he feels, or all of his brothers. But you got to admit that. Yeah, and I get it. He's the breadwinner. You don't expect that from him. Nigga, you sounded like a white boy up there. You was making your jokes. Okay. I get. You sounded like one of the white boys that you was going to school with on your TV show. You sounded like that white boy. So, look. Nigga, we're going to get slapped. Like, okay, let's just imagine this. Let's take the Oscars out of the situation. Let's say that they're at dinner, at a party with friends, and he's doing his thing, and the same thing happens. Do you think that he's not gonna get slapped? And the cold part about it is that nobody wants to, like, everybody's missing the fact that after it happened, everyone wants to talk about Jada laughing like, shit, the motherfucker, if somebody was making fun of my head and that person got slapped, I'd be laughing too. Why would you be laughing? Y'all are so stupid. Okay, let me get into the other thing, because I don't even want to talk about that, but I'm going to get to the main point about this shit, is that you guys are retarded. You guys are stupid. Because the things that you, but it's a part of this, like, conspiracy theory culture, to where you just jump on anything. Like, oh, and I seen that bitch laughing and throwing up the Illuminati sign. Oh, I knew it. That's what y'all on. Heavy. Y'all on that shit so fucking heavy. God damn. And like half of y'all defenses, that's what I want to talk about. You niggas and y'all defenses against, like, how y'all justify the whole situation. And let's just, like, my thing was it. Will felt a certain way. He responded. His family, like, Chris Rock family, feel a certain way about Chris getting slapped. It's cool. What they just need to do is just, like, hey, we got the numbers. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit, hit me up. Ring, ring. Understand, you know, Will is an actor. Maybe he don't want to keep his face. Well, that's a little bit too late for that after you slap somebody in the face. But, you know, I don't know. Niggas can get in the gloves, or you got money. Shit, just tell, hey, look, I need a 1 month vacation because I got to handle some business. And y'all just chunk them, you know, and that's it. And I don't want to hear no shit about, oh, but these is two grown men. A nigga was slapped. Okay, at this point, all that shit is out the window. I don't give a fuck what y'all say. All that shit is out the window. Motherfucker got slapped. It got physical. May not have been the kind of physical I'm accustomed to, but hey, it was physical. So you can't, you know, when we talking about man shit too, you might have to get physical, and you know you might have to run a fade with all the brothers. You know, if you can fight. It might go better for you. But yeah, you're going to have to run the fade. But after that, there should be no issue. Y'all talking about this demon. Y'all mad because he's defeating this. Because you hate Jada Pinkett for whatever reason. You're just not a fan. For whatever reason. That's our fucking problem. That was our problem with fucking OJ. I know you're like, oh, you're jumping over the plate. Nah, we're going to stay on the topic. That's your problem with Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby wouldn't have had to go through as much shit, but a lot of y'all didn't want to like what he had to say. Because he has said some shit that was more relevant in his time. And it's not like it's not relevant now. Y'all just wanted to feel like he was a coon. So since y'all felt like he was a coon, you like, fuck that nigga. A lot of folks was like that about OJ. Missing the point that niggas are trying to set precedents. Like, with this Jussie Smollett situation. I know a lot of y'all niggas feel a certain way. That's the same as the OJ situation. We're talking about white society setting a precedent that they can just lock us up for something that is basically a misdemeanor. Because if that's not a misdemeanor, if what Jussie Smollett was did was not a misdemeanor, and I think you guys heard me say this before,
then every goddamn Karen and Todd that then called the police on black folks for some fucked up shit or then lied on somebody and that shit got overturned by DNA evidence, I don't give a fuck how old the bitch is. Send her raggedy motherfucking ass to prison or jail, whatever the fuck that you were going to do, if that is truly a crime. And if it is truly a crime, then you can't say, well, that's a, well, that bitch is old now. It was 40 years ago. Who gives a fuck? She did it. And what makes it worse, someone else had to suffer them years. You understand? That's where niggas get me so, like, y'all don't understand politics. Y'all don't understand situations. You think everybody's your motherfucking friend. They ain't your motherfucking friend. They ain't there for you. Stupid. And politics fucking matter. Judges being able to send us to jail for nothing fucking matter. Motherfuckers getting been able to come out the woodwork for hundreds of years to accuse a black man of rape and still doing it. And motherfuckers like, but this is the Me Too movement. Kiss my black ass. It has always been fashionable to accuse a black man of rape or some sort of sexual deviance. That's why they ain't stopped talking about R. Kelly yet. Nigga, we know he guilty. We know it. That was the one situation where most black folks was like, yeah, fuck him. Yeah, yeah, he did that shit. Yeah, like, we're gonna watch, we're gonna see what happens, but nigga, you do. And when I see, and when I seen that that shit happened, he got, I'm like, look, check this out. Check this out. Check this out. That was not for free, niggas. That was not for free, niggas. Him getting out like that was not for free. Was not for free. They gonna hold that one over. And look at how, like, shit, almost 20 years later, look at how they still keep that shit up. Now they're like, okay, Aaliyah gone. We're gonna talk about Aaliyah again. So again, family, they'll, like, they will never let you forget. But no one said anything about Weinstein. Nobody said anything about Pizzagate. Nobody said anything about that fucking island. I gotta remember what the name of that island is. You know. No one said anything about Ed Buck. Another reason Hillary was starting to lose a lot. Like, it's always more than one reason. It wasn't just because she was sending fucking cardboard boxes to fucking places. It's just like, you got fucked up ties. You tied to Pizzagate. You tied to Ed Buck. You just tied to a whole bunch of fuck shit. But again, the focus is politics. We don't know shit. We act like we don't know shit. And that's the fucking problem. That is the motherfucking problem right there. You know, and we think, again, everybody's our motherfucking friend. You don't understand, like, you really think, that's the problem with the black man in this society today. It doesn't matter what, how much money you make, we honestly think that we've come a long way, or we've come a distance. Like, maybe we don't think we've come a long way, but we think that we've come somewhere. You haven't. You haven't. Nigga, you got less. Stupid. And the fact that these motherfuckers, let me give you another example of how stupid we are as a people. They pretty much told you in California, you're going to have to prove if you're actually a slave or whether or not at some point you were a freed person, which is really, really interesting, because when you have mechanisms within a society, and many of them had it, manumissions or ways that you could earn your own freedom, either through the military or just by your way out. It's just very, very interesting that that becomes a factor, because it shows more than one thing. It shows that how they depict slavery over these last couple of years, like how they depict it to us, is bullshit. And that's why they amalgamate. They just run it all together. These hundreds of years, like 400 years seem like 50. And that's why our brains are fucked up. That's why fucking Nazis, or not Nazis, that's why Jews can talk about what the Nazis did. And we, because they explain their history in a similar way that they explain ours. It's just faster, except theirs was actually very short and ours was centuries long, generations long, right? But that's part of the issue. And then they say, well, we're going to have to figure that out. So basically you're trying to say that even if a black person was freed in a slave society, that they didn't deal with slavery, you're going to tell me that once a person was freed, they were just good. That was it. You're also going to tell me that because a person is free, what if that person was free? What if he was like Jean-Jacques Dessalines
or the Belairs, or even Toussaint. You're talking about people who started their lives as something. Because Toussaint was favored, but that's not the story for all of them. And it doesn't mean that you didn't have weapons. It didn't mean that you didn't go through shit. You know what I'm saying? That's like say, okay, like, yeah, you was a slave for 20 years, but you just spent the last 15 free, so you don't really need nothing, do you? You weren't affected by the shit. Your grandkids wasn't affected by the shit. The benefits that people have that built up on your expense didn't mean it. You know what I'm saying? It didn't affect you. The towns and shit that we destroyed. Because that's the thing. When we're talking about slavery, we're talking about white supremacy. Slavery, or the version of it, because the version of it definitely changed a few times, was just a mechanism. It was just a tool of white supremacy. Same way that capitalism is a tool of white supremacy. See, that's the other thing. You know, we're not out here battling tools. We're not out here trying to have a fight with a shovel. Okay? We're trying to have a fight with the motherfucker that's trying to swing this shovel at us. Okay? To say it like how Cat Williams said it. Niggas ain't tripping off rope. It was the motherfucking hanging niggas didn't like. Ain't nobody give a fuck about rope and nooses and shit. Like, what the fuck is rope? It's what you do with that rope. It's what you do with it. So, yeah, we're talking about fight mechanisms. We're talking about politics. And we're talking about getting our motherfucking heads on right. And doing more research. Not everything is what you think it is. And we have to understand that they describe things to us. They teach us about certain things with reason, with a purpose. Okay, your slave master wants to educate you to do what? Why does the slave master educate you? So you can better serve him. Why would Toussaint and other folks who were favored be allowed to be educated more? It's because they need you. It's to serve them better. It's not about you having a mind and you're just that exception to the rule. They were expecting you to be the intellect, the mind that they can control. They've been spending the last 100 years trying to figure out the best way to cultivate a mind, an effective mind that they can control. How can I make these great people into, once again, slaves? Because as John Henry Clark was saying, I don't have too much time left, so I need to wrap this up. But John Henry Clark would say, when have you seen slaves so skillful? What kind of slaves could build a nation and keep it so well that it just stands? It has enough to stand on itself. The Sans Soucis and all the different great architecture, particularly in D.C., that we were responsible for. So we have to understand that the goal is always the same goal. And they could never afford to make you so weak and so stupid that you are ineffective. Though the goal is, how can I get these people capable, more than capable, people who are more capable than me to serve me? To serve me. And that has been the goal of Western society. That's why they have feudalism. That's why they had rhetoric. It's something that they tried to master amongst themselves. And now they're applying that to you. And the way that they are being the most successful is if we can adopt their logic, if we can adopt their reason and their values, person to object, then it's much easier for them to control us within a system. You see what I'm saying? Like, so again, and I'm going to say this and I'm done. The very reason why they have so much control is because we think like them. And the mechanisms that they've designed was designed for people that think like them, is designed for them. These were systems that they created for themselves that kept themselves in check. You see what I'm saying? That's why when we're more of our African selves, this shit just doesn't work, because it doesn't apply to our logic, our reasons, our values. You see? So, and it's funny too, because I'm going to be talking about this a bit earlier, and I don't want to steal any of our terms, but yeah, there definitely needs to be a cleanse of the mind. But it's so much simpler than what people think. But will you do it? Will you do what's necessary? Will you reclaim your African mind? Because it's necessary. Because it's the only thing that will get you away from this way of thinking. And it's really interesting to me, because it's always the history. It's always the history and the culture that actually gets us out of this. Whether we choose to stay in it, that's a whole nother thing. It's like, I guess it's just like, how free do you want to be, right? But it's just always interesting that it's always in the discovery of ourselves. Or even, and I wouldn't even say that, because there's a lot of these Asian loving people out here that don't care about the white man. But we just understand that this system, thinking like them, makes it easy to be controlled and live with them. When you're not thinking like them, when you're thinking like with a different set of eyes on, preferably your own, but people, there's so many to choose from, evidently. But you see how those things don't work. So with that being said, family, thanks for supporting. You know, I appreciate you guys. If you made it this far, you guys are awesome. You know, for the people that actually finish these, I can tell which ones people finish or not. I got all the metrics. I appreciate it. It definitely makes it worthwhile. And when I see that I do get plays, especially on certain topics that I feel were good, it just feels great. Definitely feels great. And I feel like I'm one step closer to being as effective as I would like to be. So peace, love, and light, y'all. You can follow me on Instagram. That is Technico, TekNiko. Also, you can find me on the Twitter. That's where you can find me on Niso Technico. Also, you can check out my YouTube. I still got some videos on there, albeit a lot of them are old. But there's still some good content up there if you just want to see it. Maybe you're just like, what the hell does he look like? Who is this dude? He's just so cool. I just want to know what he looks like. Just go on to YouTube. Go to Neset Netter Tech, TEKH, and I should pop up. New videos will be, I know I've been saying this for a while, but it's just like, it takes time. It takes time, especially when you do things like on your own. And you have a certain level of expectation, a certain level of quality that you want to get to at the same time, because I just don't like releasing junk. That's just me. So I actually, and that's something else too, I want to let you guys know, I do have like a bunch of I do have some old episodes, and I'm kind of sifting through them. There's some of them are long, like I got one that's like 2 hours. But I do want to sift through it, and I just want to kind of vet the information. Maybe I'll redo it if some things are kind of old or if it just sounds too weird. But something else I'm also considering, just to kind of go ahead and release information. Even though I don't feel like it's necessarily relevant at this time, still, it's information. I did it. And I've been surprised to see what, because I have been getting feedback. And I have been really, really surprised to see what people like. It's not just based on the metrics. And I think that was one of my mistakes. I was looking solely on what were my top, pocket, like, why are people, and I was kind of using what people were playing and kind of using that. And it is one lens to look through, but there's certainly other lenses to look through. And I think there's different reasons why people might even listen to something. You know, it may not even be good. It just could be just a polarizing topic. It could just be the name. But all these things I've just been kind of thinking about. Like, I've been, yeah, just trying to be good. But with that being said, I'm glad that this podcast has value to you folks. Clearly it does. You stuck to it this long. So I'm pretty sure this is a good podcast for you. Stay tuned for the video. So with that being said, peace, love, and light. Tech out.